Hello, humans, and welcome back to another episode of Sparks the Conversation. A little bit of a different one today, so we're not actually going to be talking anything fitness, okay, for once. Well, we are a little bit, but today we're going to be talking more about myself as an individual, as Project Sparks, kind of what led me to this point, because I appreciate that kind of lots of people don't actually know much about me before signing up to coaching. And obviously when they kind of sign up to coaching, they get to know the ins and outs of me. I'll always get to know my clients, but it's good for kind of everyone to kind of know where I'm at, where I've been, and why I find myself in this position. Okay, so in terms of my own fitness journey, if you want to call it that, I actually hate that word. Like, we're on a journey, bro. Yeah, we are on a little bit of a journey, but at the end of the day, we're all just doing pretty much the same thing. It all started realistically when I was around 16. I was always interested in sports, as you do at school. Had no other real interests, so I was just playing rugby, playing cricket, football, basically anything I would throw my hand at, and I'd be reasonably good at it. Not to the best standard, played a few Devon games in different sports, regional, never really made it to national, didn't really push myself too hard back then, but I loved sports, and this led me to getting a reasonably bad injury. So when I was playing Colts, I ruptured all of the ligaments in my knee, which essentially put me out for around a year, which was not ideal. So anyone who knows about knees, when you do your ACL, most of the time you will need an operation. So the question then became, should I wait 9 months to go on the NHS or should I go private? So turns out I used the money that my parents had saved up for me to go to university on my knee. So multiple thousand pounds later, I was under the knife and I had a full knee reconstruction. So they stuck me back together. Essentially, they drilled my hamstring, one of my hamstring tendons, through my knee, and that now acts as my ACL. So I then entered into around a 9 month period of rehab, and this was pretty eye opening for me. So essentially, before my operation, I could walk into my operation, which is always a good thing. If you go into operation strong, you come out strong, because again, the margin for you going backwards is greater because you've started in a better position. Nonetheless, it was pretty humbling. So fair amount of pain, couldn't really straighten my leg. It meant a lot of gym. So I was doing physio 2 times a week. I was exercising that leg at least 5 times a day with required movements. Luckily, I didn't stumble upon, my dad did some good research and we got a very good physio who basically laid it out for me and said, if you want to be back to full fitness, you need to actually put in the graft. And this is where I really started to see and apply myself in the gym. Obviously, a lot of it was based around rehab, but being in that environment, being in that situation where I can see myself improving week on week, day on day with the actions that I take, really opened up my eyes to what the body's capable of. Even though it's not necessarily like the biggest operation, at that time of my life, it was a pretty big thing. So that definitely did mold me and shape me towards going to the gym. So that's around the 18 mark. Around that period, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with myself. I think as a male, just as a male in general, I matured quite late, and around 18, I definitely didn't know what I wanted to do. So gym was always apparent. I was always training, always learning. I moved to Leeds when I was 18 with my parents, and it resulted in me joining a very strong gym where it was pretty humbling that I was the weakest lad-ish in the gym within reason. For someone who goes as often as me, that really pained me. So this really pushed me forward, and it does show that like your environment really does change the way you act and the way you work. So training in that gym, it's called Edge Gym in Leeds. It's not a gym anymore. Met some good people there. I managed to develop my strength and I really fell in love with the gym side of things. It was this point where I kind of realized that gym was realistically like my happy place, or progression was my happy place. Alongside this, I was working as a behavior worker in a secondary school in Leeds, which you can imagine was pretty grim. So that was pretty stressful most of the time, very underpaid as well. But at the time I was only like 18, 19, 20, so I wasn't that worried. This continued for a number of years, and I was just like, you know what, I don't know if I can do this secondary school stuff. They're all too much for me. Let's try primary. So I moved down to Bath, and realistically I worked in a primary school, and then I realized that I realized but also thought that I needed to become a teacher. And this is kind of where it all started to slightly go wrong for me, in a sense that I associated needing a career or a proper job as something that required me to go to university. And then next thing I know, I'm at university. So I went to university quite late, and it was essentially just a stepping stone for me. I treated it very much like I treat most things. Applied myself, didn't really engage with like the social side of things, which looking back potentially is a bad thing. But again, you live and you learn. I'm not really that bothered. I'm not really up for like uni culture and going out and getting smashed when you're a little bit older than all of the other people at uni. So what I found myself doing was obviously studying. And I think here I could have gone down two routes. So I really did love the academic side of things, with some of my results being quite good. Obviously, I did graduate with a first class honours, which is what it is. It's not too hard to get nowadays, but it was pretty good going. I could either go down the academic route and stay in kind of education forever, potentially go down the route of like a lecturer within education, that is, not anything that's actually involves intelligence, no offence. Or I just go and be a teacher. So did my teacher training, and then I was like, look, I'm going to try teaching. Tried teaching. And what I realised was that during this, like, my online coaching was taking off, and this probably is where I need to start talking about online coaching. So I only actually started my online coaching in the second year of university, and it went well. Obviously at the start you face the normal struggles with online coaching, like it's a very crowded marketplace. Why would I listen to you is very often the kind of thing that you need to think about. What testimonials do you have? What branding do you have? There's a lot for you to do as a individual person within a market that some people have teams working for them. So during this time over university, I essentially started the side hustle. Okay, so the side hustle was Project Sparks. Got a logo, got everything, started coaching people for dead cheap. I think my first actual clients were completely free, and I would always recommend that for anyone trying to kind of get testimonials and clients under their belt. So took on some free clients and got some results with that, and that led to a flow of clients. Okay, so I think during university, second or third year, I had maybe like 10 to 15 clients, which alongside kind of running Airbnbs in Bath wasn't necessarily a bad thing. Do you know what I mean? I was building my confidence, I was building my ability to coach, and what I found is that I could fine tune the process of Project Sparks. I could fine tune how I delivered things. And let's put this in perspective. Like at the start, I was sending back and forth PDF documents that I had to edit every time because I didn't even know about Google Sheets. And looking back, like that took up so much time. I was individually editing meal plans and doing the maths myself. Absolutely crazy. And like at the start, it took me longer to manage 10 clients than it does now to manage like 45, which is ridiculous. So Project Spark started growing. And on my teacher training, this is where I really started to think like, what am I actually doing? And in the nicest way possible, like education is a great job if you love it. But I found myself just there. Do you know what I mean? I was doing my check-ins. I was working all weekend to do not only passing my qualification, but also to build Project Sparks and build my client base. So I was working a lot. And this is the point where I was kind of like, right, I need to make a decision, okay? And of course, like monetary factors did come into it. And we all know that like teaching isn't necessarily the highest paid profession, with it being a public service and necessarily just being pretty undervalued for the amount of work that you do. Like I was starting to gain a little bit of traction. I was like, you know what? Like, could I just commit to it and see what happens? And this is where I kind of decided like, right, it's gonna be go time. Do you know what I mean? Like this is gonna be where I'm gonna just pause things for a little bit with my teaching side of things and just go for it. And this is where I kind of went all in with it. Of course, along the way and during this, I did do a bodybuilding prep, which put a huge stress on me, like my relationship at the time, and pretty much everything. And that resulted in pretty much my relationship starting to break down, which was fine. Like it was probably gonna happen anyway. So like, it was just like a fast track for doing that. So I ended up moving back to Exeter at this point. And this is where I was like, right, I need to double down. I need to focus all my efforts on making this a success, because burning at the back of my head was like, right, you left education where you had a job, where you had a salary for something like this that was your side hustle, that was everything that people said you couldn't make a living from. And I really want to prove those people wrong. So the work really did work start to happen when I came back to Exeter and really start to push myself and apply myself in everything. And my main focus here became really making sure that my client got the best experiences and the best results, because honestly, like nothing changed my business more than when I focused on getting clients immaculate results, like actual life-changing results, like 20 kilograms, 30 kilograms from lean to lean, the leanest they've ever been. And this is where I really started to snowball and graft, and everything started to fall into place and it started to build momentum. And Project Sparks, what it is today, is very different to what it was at the start. And that's come from working through issues. That's come from working through and learning lots of things myself. And if you're a part of Project Sparks now, like, you probably wouldn't have liked being part of Project Sparks very early on. It was very clunky, it was very slow, it wasn't a very well-oiled machine, but now I'd like to think that it is quite a well-oiled machine. And we pretty much create a standardized service for everyone. And what realistically was the catalyst for this was my ability to apply myself in marketing, which is a tricky one, isn't it? Like, marketing is an icky word, just like sales is. No one really likes to talk about business, sales, marketing, because people buy people. And that's something that I pride myself on, in the fact that I'm not necessarily the most sociable person, but I am who I am. And hopefully people can see that. Do you know what I mean? Like, my passion and my commitment to all of my clients hopefully shines through. Like, I work 7 days a week at the moment, just like I would have done if I was a teacher. I probably work more now than I would as a teacher. But it's something that I've created and it's something that I love, and therefore it doesn't feel like work all of the time. Of course, some days you're struggling. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I've got a lot of work to do, loads of programs to write. But again, like I always say, that the version of me 5-6 years ago would have paid a lot of money to be in this position now. So don't take it for granted. So where I see like Project Sparks going in the future is, at the moment, obviously we're focusing very much on kind of transformation based work. So people come to me, individuals, male, females, come to me wanting to grow muscle or lose body fat. That tends to be my niche at the moment. And that has subsequently resulted in me running twice yearly or twice annually photo shoots. So I do a June shoot and I do a November shoot. And each year, well, each month or each shoot, sorry, they begin to start growing. So at the moment, currently we have 20 people in my June shoot, which fills me with tons of nerves. But that is a result of people wanting to buy into the brand, to me, and to bettering themselves. And this is something that I always try and get across in my messaging, is that I want everyone to be the best version of themselves. Not in a cliche like, oh my God, live your best life, like, you get it, girl. No, none of that shit. Like, get down, do the hard work, and your future self will thank you for it. And that's why this shoot is so important. And it's so important to each individual who's doing it. It's because they've made a choice. They've made a choice to push themselves out of their comfort zone and move into a position where they've never been before. And that takes a huge amount of courage. And I want to be able to support those people in that. And as a result, they get class transformations, they get a great day out from it, they get professional images, they get professional videos. Like, it's an absolute experience. And that's something that I really want to focus on over these next few years, is creating experiences. And one idea that's floating in my head is starting like a fitness retreat. I'm not sure whether I'll be able to have the manpower or human power. I don't know if you can even say manpower anymore. I don't know if you can say manhole in terms of an American word. But anyway, moving on, I digress. Experiences abroad. I know a few of my clients would be up for this. There was some flirting that the shoot this year or the shoot in summer would be something that would happen abroad. But again, that's something that just happened at too short a notice. So there's going to be a period in this transitional phase for Project Sparks where we go from being like a very reputable brand to something that's going to really push on. And if you're a part of it, I'm fully excited for you, because again, like, I'll do everything that I can to really help you with your physiques, your mindset, with everything that you're trying to do. And that's something that I pride myself on. And very soon we will be taking on a coach. I need to start the interview process for that, because ultimately it will be something that I'll have to give complete trust to that individual for, because otherwise I'm going to feel very nervous. But it will be something that I will be looking to do over the next few years, maybe even months, if I have the availability to do so. So hopefully this kind of tells you a little bit more about me, about Project Sparks, about where it came from and why it started. The truth was that a lot of it came from just years of being involved in fitness and just thinking, I want to be able to create what I've done for myself for other people. And that really was what boiled down to it. And where did my motivations come from? Because people do ask me this all the time. Like, why are you so motivated? How do you do this? A lot of the time, like, because I've been doing this for so long, it's just habitual. It doesn't take any motivation for me to go out for a run. If anything, it takes more motivation or discipline for me not to go out and do exercise. Like, if anyone knows me, I'm a workhorse. I love grafting. I love exercising. If I don't, I feel stressed. So it's more about me managing my own expectations for my activity instead of being able to get myself active. And this hasn't come from just chance. And this has just come from development over time. And this is why I am who I am today. And this is why I am what Project Sparks is today. So thank you for listening to this podcast. It's been just literally me rambling about my life for the past 15 minutes. So if you've enjoyed it, please leave me a review. If you have listened and got this far, please share it on your Instagram. It really does help me grow. But other than that, we'll be back to fitness content next week. If you need me, give me a message. But other than that, have a great day, great life, wherever you are in this world.